Good morning. Welcome to Centerpoint Community Church. We're excited to continue our series on If Money Talked. We're going to be doing number four today, so we're winding up this series. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to the others. You can find them on our YouTube channel. And by the way, pass that on to people. Some people are still lost in this, you're not on Facebook anymore, but I mean, we're still out there. So anyway, share with them, we're now on YouTube. Anyway, because it's been incredible stuff. It's been beautiful to listen to what money has to say to us, if money could talk, and matching that up with what Jesus did say. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me do a couple of announcements, and if I don't do this one, I'm going to get in trouble with some short people. And I'm supposed to say Merry Christmas because Thanksgiving's over, and so the rest of everything else is just Christmas until Christmas. Actually, at my place, it's Christmas until about midway through January. And if you look at the gate going into my place, yes, I've got a gate going into my place, it's got Christmas lights on it that have been up since last year. So we did Christmas all year long, at least at our gate. So a couple of announcements, really just kind of three things. Number one, we've got a build day coming up. December the 12th, build day coming up on December the 12th. This is the last one for the rest of the year. And we're still doing some painting. If you can paint in any kind of way or to any degree, even if you got to have tape, we'll put people that can put tape down. You can paint. If you can clean, dust, wipe down, sweep. We got a lot of that to do. Still getting ready for our final inspection. So December 12th, get here at 8 o'clock because we really do a lot of rallying at 8 o'clock. And then we pray and then we disperse and everybody goes to a different corner and does stuff and clean stuff. And then we're usually out of here around lunchtime. Number two, adopt a kid. We've got, it's been a tradition for us every Christmas time is our church, gets families with children with special needs that aren't getting assistance from any other way. And we get to adopt them. So we get to provide some Christmas for them in some ways that they wouldn't get if we don't. So we've got six families. Some have maybe one kid, some have two or three kids. So you can kind of pick and choose. But Joyce at centerpointsc.com is your contact person. She'd love to get you hooked up with some details about what they need, the family, and how you can even deliver them, because it's a beautiful thing to get to go and be a part of that. It's humbling, it's rewarding, it's satisfying. It's cool in all kinds of ways. So Joyce at centerpointsc.com, she can get you hooked up with that. And lastly, if you are not getting emails from us and you'd like to, so meaning that you're watching us, or maybe you're just like, well, I've been going to church here for 15 years and I'm still not getting emails. Well, it could be your fault. It could be our fault. Regardless, you can help us fix that if you will go to info@centerpointsc.com, just say, hey, put me on the email list. And so you'll get notifications about what's going on, whether it's build days or ways that you can adopt a kid or any other way that we're involved in servicing our community. And the other piece of that is if you'd like to be involved in getting prayer requests, meaning that you would love to get to pray for individuals that we put out prayer requests about that are in need of God's moving in their life, then go to pray at. I do that every time. So just go to pray@centerpointsc.com. And you can sign up for both if you'd like to. But that'll help us to help you stay in the loop. Does that work?
Yep.
Okay. Lastly, we got a video that's going to kick this off again. So let me pray for us and then we'll watch the video. Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm excited about where you've got us as a church, where you've got us as individuals, as a church in the middle of this community, in the middle of our world. Lord, I am convinced that you have us as individuals in this church specifically, for this season of life, Lord, for what's going on in our world and our community and in people's lives. Lord, help us to be a light, to point them in the right direction. Help us to add flavor as salt does to food, to people's lives. Lord, we should be adding value to the community's lives and to people's lives. And Lord, help us to continue to do that as individuals and as a church. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Check this out.
It's tough being someone's money. I feel like I have so much to offer, and yet I'm underutilized. I'm stretched too thin. There's no margin. I'm either completely ignored or people are pushing me in directions I don't want to go in. I could provide so much more meaning to people beyond power boats or fancy shoes or new watches. I just want what's best for people. All right? I want them living the dream.
Well, what would that look like?
Terry, great to hear from you. Man, every Monday like clockwork. It's wonderful. Guinea pigs do need saving. Yes, I think giving 5% is a great place to start. You know what you and Melody need? You need to take some time away from the kids and enjoy yourselves. Take that vacation. You blew out both tires at once? Oh my goodness. The good news is that that's why we have our emergency savings. Isn't it amazing? Savings? Check. Giving? Check. So guess what? Now you get to go spoil yourself. You know, go get something fun, like repaint that house. Go get that car. Buy that new phone. Consume your heart out.
Not to burst your bubble, but do you really feel like that's realistic?
Excuse me. Hello? Yes, just a moment. It's for you.
This money. Karen! 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 You called back! Oh my goodness, what's going on? Congratulations! You've been saving long and hard for that house. That's amazing. And you got a great rate. Even better. You're the best. No, you're the best. Okay, all right, we got a lot of work to do, all right? Okay, thank you. All right, so what we're gonna do is, first off, we're gonna make sure we get that homeowner's insurance, got a plan for that property tax, a lawn maintenance plan. Have you had someone look at your gutters yet? That's gonna be really important. Cable and internet is definitely a must so we can entertain the guests. You know what? Another thing that I was thinking, for fire insurance, something they don't look at. Don't forget your umbrella policy, that's important. Okay, you know what, Doc?
She's gone.
You are the best. Next time, let's talk about you, you know? You gotta up your rate, you know? We all know this ain't cheap. I gotta go, you're a genius, okay. Therapy works.
So as we wind up, we're talking today about meaningful money. It'll make sense to you as we go through today's message. We've encouraged you to spy on your money, so I'd encourage you to continue to spy on your money. Watch where your money's going. Be aware of that and be responsible for that. I hope that you continue to as you watch your money, I hope that you continue to act as a manager of your money, something that you've been entrusted with instead of an owner, because as we've learned, we really don't own it. And then, like we talked about last week, maybe move in the direction of, if you're not already in the direction of, the give, save, live order of spending, order of sending our money in directions. So today, as we wrap up, I'm going to wind up asking you a question towards the end. And it's a question that on the surface doesn't seem to have anything to do with money. But as we're going to see, has everything to do with our money, or our money and what we do with it says everything about us. So let's look at a story that Jesus told. And it's a parable. It's a made-up story to illustrate a point. And we're going to see what Jesus had to say about money when it comes to how we handle it and how we think about it. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. Sometimes I give you a verse or two, so we're actually going to look at this whole story that Jesus told. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 says this. It says, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest." So there's this guy that's already got a lot of money. He's already rich, and he's obviously a farmer, and it yielded an abundant harvest. Notice it was the ground, something that he had little to do with, maybe nothing to do with. I know we can till it, we can fertilize it, we can do a lot of stuff with it, but in and of itself, I mean, you put a seed in there, I mean, I have no idea how that happens, how that works, but it just works. So it's a God part of thing. So the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. So Jesus continues, "He thought to himself, 'What shall I do?'" Like, this is a problem. I've got a big harvest and like, oh, I got to figure out what to do. It's a great question. I mean, what shall I do? As we're going to see, his answer was off. So What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. Obviously didn't have enough storage space. And I will build bigger barns. And there I will store my, and notice this word, we used this word earlier in a series, our surplus grain. Or as we might would say, our surplus money. And we proved to you that we actually do have a surplus, that we actually do have extra. All of us, to some degree, have some extra, right? So again, on the surface, it doesn't seem like this has got anything to do with money. It doesn't seem like maybe we have anything in common with this guy. He was a pretty lucky fellow, right? But just under the surface, think about what we may have in common. You do have a surplus in some other ways. I mean, have you ever had a garage sale because you got too much junk, right? So you had a surplus, you had extra stuff. It obviously had some value because you charged somebody for it, or else you just thrown it in the dumpster, right? You ever carried a load or two, sometimes a couple of loads to Goodwill or to his house or to a great place over here across the railroad tracks, U-Turn for Christ, right? It was good stuff. Oh, I don't want to throw it away, so let's give it away so somebody else can use it. So you obviously had some extra. How about you've got stuff that you're not using, and you go to the attic, or you go to the basement, or you go to the garage where you've got to get rid of some stuff because you've already got stuff that you're not using, and you got to make room for more stuff that you're not using. Point is, we've got extra. We've got a surplus. We've got stuff that we're not using anymore that we feel like maybe somebody else can use. So maybe, just maybe, we got a little more in common with him than we think. So, back to the parable. He says, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. So it's a great plan if you think about it. It's a great plan if this life is all that there is to life. And I think most of us believe that there is a life beyond this life. Certainly Jesus believed that there was a life beyond this life and invited us into that life. Huge part of why he came to do what he did. So on the surface, it's, you know, like, okay, well, this is okay. And maybe it's also part of the American dream. I mean, I think I'm not immune to it just because I'm a pastor, but I think we all want more or bigger or newer or shinier or faster or quicker or louder. I mean, you know, we all aspire to things. And we feel like, I've worked hard, I ought to get to take it easy for a while. That we've got, I've got enough money to buy whatever I want now. And so I'm going to buy whatever I want now, and I'm going to save some so I can buy whatever I want later. Again, it doesn't seem like there's necessarily anything wrong with that. And maybe if we've done really well, then our kids will be left well off as well, right? So we just kind of ramp this thing on up. And if you've done all that, if you can do all that, we kind of feel like in some ways that maybe we've won, that this is it, that this is life, and I'm blessed. And everybody in Jesus's audience probably thought so too. And then as he's telling this story, this made-up story, he surprises them. He throws something in there. But God said to this man, but God said to him, you fool. And again, it's like, well, what? I mean, he was doing stuff like everybody else probably would have done stuff. So everybody in Jesus' audience, and maybe even us, when you were reading this for the very first time, is kind of taken back just a little bit and kind of pause. I mean, again, we're missing something, right? Because he was doing well, and so he was successful, but now Jesus called him a fool. So we're missing something, it seems like. So let's look at it. He says, you fool, tonight, almost like now, your life will be demanded from you. Then, he says, and listen to this question, then, who will get what you've prepared for yourself? Who will get what you've stored up? Who will you get what you've prepared for you to sit back and eat, drink, and merry, and enjoy? And the answer to the question is, somebody else. It's not you. You're not going to get to keep it. You don't get to take it with you. We've talked about that. And and really this is the story for most of us. Even if you've done well and you've got some, saved up, when you die, somebody else is going to wind up with what you've got. Somebody else is going to get it. It's going to go. And then what's going to happen? And if that's all that you've done, if that's all that this cat did with his stuff, then it was just for him and not for anybody else. They're going to get his stuff. They're going to get his junk. So again, you know, for most of us, maybe you had a good family support system. Maybe you've done well with your investments or your 401k or your pension or whatever it is. The truth is, if we've done well, we're going to run out of time before we run out of money. That the clock's going to end. And this cat, just like really none of us know when the end is. We don't know when we've run out of time. We don't get to watch our hourglass, right? I mean, the scriptures teach us that our days are numbered, that we do have a particular number of grains of sand in the hourglass, if you will, but we don't get to see it. That's behind the scenes, and we don't get to see that. So if we live like we've got forever, then we're going to think like this guy thought. So the question that God asked the rich guy is really a question for all of us. There's a question for Jesus' audience. There's a question for me. There's a question for you. And God said, you know, then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? It's just going to be somebody else or your kids. And this guy doesn't, maybe this guy didn't even, I guess a made up story, but maybe he didn't even have any kids because he wasn't talking about taking care of his kids. He was just going to sit back and live fat and happy for the rest of his life until he died. And somebody else was going to get it, whether it was kids or whoever. But it wasn't going to be because he was generous. It wasn't going to be because he had planned ahead of time what he was going to do with it. It was going to be because he was dead. He just wasn't going to have it anymore. So he didn't give it. He just left it when he leaves this world. So at this point, Jesus kind of pulls out of the parable and he addresses his audience. And again, I think he's addressing us because we're Jesus' audience today. And here's what he said. This is how it will be. This thing that he just described, this is this thing that he illustrated where, you know, oops, today's your last day. Tonight, your life is demanded of you. Tonight, your soul is going to be snatched up. This is how it will be. And all that's going to be left behind. Your life, maybe a loss, a total loss, maybe because there's nothing to show for it except for what he stored up for himself. Everything is going to be left behind. He ate, drank, and he was merry, and then he died. It's kind of cute to chuckle at, right? But it's not a funny or a fun life. Nothing meaningful to show for his life. He's got stories, he's got stuff stored up, and somebody's going to get it. Kids are going to get it. Kids are going to sell your junk. They're going to sell your crap because it don't mean nothing to them, right? They're going to sell it or give it away or throw it away. From experience, I understand this. So this is how it will be. With whoever stores up things for themselves, because this is exactly what this guy did. This is how it will be, Jesus says, for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. We could probably spend a lot of time what it looks like being rich towards God. If I just made it simple, made it easy for you, it means just giving back to God. If this is all his anyway, don't you think something needs to go back to him? Remember the story of the guys we talked about last week? You know, they invested the master's money and then all of it went back to God. We need to give back to God, being rich back towards God, being rich towards the things that God cares about. That's maybe another cool way to think about it. Or being rich towards the people that God cares about. And who are the people that God cares about? Everybody. God cares about people, especially people who aren't able to do for themselves, who need a little extra help. The adopt-a-kid family. This stuff's just coming to me. So what is Jesus saying? And this is how it will be for anyone who prepares for their future but is not rich towards God. This is how it will be for anybody who embraces the consumption assumption. Remember back in number one, that everything that comes my way is for my consumption, that everything that I get must be for me because I worked for it, I earned it, I worked hard for it, my name's on the paycheck. And that's the mistake that the rich man made as well. So he built bigger barns because he thought it was all for him and he was going to need it. But in the end, what was it? It was a total loss. It wasn't for him. He didn't get to take it with him. Do you remember what money told us back in part one? Money said, I can add meaning to your life, but I am not the meaning of life. And this is what we've talking about today, that money is a tool that can add meaning to our lives. Money is a tool that we can use to add meaning to our lives. Money is a tool that we can use to add meaning to other people's lives. But money in and of itself is not the meaning of life. But this can, I can use this as a tool to help someone. I can use it as a tool to grow the kingdom. I can use it as a tool to, you know, to increase the church's influence. I can use it as a tool to give towards organizations that have been meaningful to me, these kinds of things. This is what it can do and how it can. This is the lens that we need to view money through, that I look at money as a tool, not as the end goal or not as the meaning itself. And so when we use money as a tool, it becomes meaningful, so that money makes a difference. Doesn't just turn me into that rich man, doesn't turn you into that rich woman that has just stored up for themselves. It just is all about, you know, being fat and happy. So the rich man didn't realize this. Rich man thought that this money that came to him was a gift. Oh, it's a gift, and so it must be for me. He didn't view it as a tool. He even viewed it as maybe as an entitlement, viewed it as a reward to sit back and just enjoy, but not as a tool to use to add meaning to his life or to someone else's life. So here's a question that I talked about at the top of the message. The one that at first glance just doesn't seem to have anything to do with money, but here it is. To what ends do you want your life to be a means? To what end, or to you, if you're looking at me, the end is this way, I guess. To what end do you want your life all along the way to be a means? If you want your life to be meaningful, it has to be working towards an end. I mean, that's what the whole thing means, right? So to what ends do you want your life to be a means? If something is not a means to an end, it has no meaning. And if it's just, you know, about sitting back and being fat and happy, then I mean, is that the goal? Is that the end? So then your whole life is just for you? And listen, you might be an incredible guy. You might be an incredible gal, but probably not if your life is just working towards taking care of you and you being, well, you just enjoying everything that comes your way as if it's meant for you. His wealth was not a means to anything other than himself. And God, I'm just thinking, it might seem big, but what a small life. What a small life to not add value to anyone else's life and to not be a tool that makes a difference in anybody else's life other than just himself. So when he was gone, Jesus would be like, well, that was just a total loss. And what a sucky life that would be. I don't know if Jesus would have said it was a sucky life, but that's what I would have said. So again, for something, and this includes your life, for something to have meaning, it's got to be a means to an end. So to what ends do you want your life to be a means? It's a great question. It's a great question for us to think about. It's a great question for us to think about no matter where you are. If you're a teenager, oh my gosh, imagine getting this right as a teenager and the legacy that you could be writing all along the way, because you know that at the end, it's not me, because at the end of my life, it's not going to be about me. At the end of my life, it's going to be about, you know, what did I do for the kingdom? And it's going to be about me being rich towards God, meaning have I been given back to God, meaning have I been giving to the things that God cares about, to the people that God cares about? I mean, that's a life that in the end is going to have, it's going to have value. It's going to have meaning. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a good way to think about it, but I think about strolling and I can't walk too far because the camera's right here. Y'all with me? By the way, if y'all are done with me being in a box, we can be live really soon. So be praying for favor with the county. Be in here at work days and be, at, anyway, because anyway, I guess I'm strolling into heaven and I don't know. Is this supposed to be fanfare? I don't know what all that's supposed to look like. But you know, the cat, sorry. David's illustrations don't always work. I want my life to have meant something. I want for people, not to be about David, but for people's lives to be touched because of decisions David made about and with his money. I mean, obviously our life too, but we're talking about money, specifically money, what do we do with it? And listen, I'm just telling you, if you haven't viewed your life and your service, your abilities, your skills, your talents, your experiences, you might be like, well, I'm not all that. You got some experience, and some of them were sucky experiences, but God did something in and through you, and you can share that with someone else and affect their life. Here's what I'm saying. If we don't view our life and ministry as a ministry, if we're not investing into other people with our life, you're probably not investing into other people with your money either, because you don't see your life as something to invest into. But that's a whole nother message, that's a whole nother series. And we'll do that really soon. So maybe here's another way to look at it. What do you want people to celebrate about your life? Maybe another way to look at it, if you were present, wouldn't this be amazing? For some of us, it'd be amazing. Wouldn't it be amazing to be at your own funeral? I mean, really, wouldn't it be amazing to be at your own funeral? And if you were able to be at your funeral and you could write it out, okay, because you're writing it out, if you could write it out, what would you want people to thank you for? What would you want people to celebrate about your life? Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here today at your funeral, because I just got to tell you, and I didn't tell you during your lifetime, but I got to tell you today, thank you for, I mean, whatever it is. What is it you want people to celebrate about you if you're not there, because you ain't going to be there, but if you were able to peer down and watch, what would you want people to thank you for? That's the things we need to be doing now, today. I'm telling you, you're writing your own eulogy, aren't we? I hate using negative examples. I'll use a negative and a positive. Can I do this? I had to do a funeral for a guy one time, long time ago. It was the most painful one. I hate funerals, by the way. Don't die on me. I hate doing funerals. But I really hated doing this guy's funeral. I didn't know him, one, and it seemed as if nobody knew him. So I didn't know what to do, so I did what I could do. I did scripture, so I taught truth, right? And so I didn't know the guy, so I couldn't do much of a eulogy. So I did the only thing I knew to do at the time. I said, you know, has anybody got anything to say about, I'll call him Joe, about Joe? And it was like, it was crickets. It was like this. I'm thinking, man, this fell flat. This is worse than one of my jokes. I mean, just nothing. And so finally somebody stood up and said something. Oh yeah, he was, and could give an example or two, but holy smokes. I'm thinking, okay, compare that to the positive example. Probably the fullest funeral I ever went to, it was for my uncle. And oh my gosh, it was so full, and just people went on and on and on about this guy, and about how he had invested his life into other people. And I thought, man, I hope that people would go on and on about me, like that. And you know how we can make that happen? By writing our eulogy now, by living a life that invests our lives in other people, and it specifically, because we're talking about money, that invests our money into other people and other people's lives, right? So most people never stop to ask those kind of questions because it's kind of morbid, I guess, but If we don't, the problem is we will just kind of migrate towards this rich dude's attitude by default, because we're all just sinful and about ourselves. My God, people, you say, oh, thank you. And man, you just don't know me. I am an incredibly selfish individual at heart, and I have to work to not, I have to remind myself to not remind myself of these kinds of principles, because man, if left to myself, I'm just gonna be about me. And me is just too small. So I got to be reminded that there is an end that matters. And if my life is going to be a means to an end, if there's going to be meaning to my life and about my life, then I've got to be investing my life. And as we're talking about money, I've got to be investing my money or even your stuff, whatever it is, right? So maybe you haven't thought about it this either. So we're thinking about it right now. And I don't know how you would answer that question. To what ends do you want your life to be a means? But I know what you wouldn't say. I mean, you wouldn't say, well, for me, it's all about just accumulating and newer, nicer, shinier, and upgrades. And I mean, that's not really you. You wouldn't say that out loud anyway. Yes, it's a part of who you are at the core because we've got a sinful nature, but it's not what we want. If you're listening to me, I'm sure that that's not what you want, because you're wanting to learn, you're wanting to grow, you want to know how to be involved in kingdom stuff if you've invested any time into listening to the message. So here's the thing. If we don't figure this out, if you don't figure it out, if I don't figure this out for ourselves, and our appetites, again, those natural desires that we have for more, quicker, shinier, louder, whatever it is, that natural appetite is going to determine the answer to that question for us. If we just, you know, kick back and do the default thing, if we're not intentional with our lives and how we invest our lives, if we're not intentional with our money and how we invest our money and where we, as we said, not just spend it, but where we send it, where we send our money, then, and culture's just pulling us in that direction, then we're just going to be, yeah, she ate, she drank, she was merry, and then she died. Man, I don't want that to be my life, and I know you don't want to be that. And nobody chooses that on purpose, right? So the meaning question is all about money being a tool that we use, and that tool of money can add meaning to our lives, and it adds meaning to other people's lives as well, right? So let me break it down and kind of make this practical for you. What do you do with that? What does all that mean? So last time together we were together, we talked about, you know, the best way to prioritize our lives financially was to step off the screen. Oh, I'm back. The last time we talked about how to prioritize our money or how to reprioritize, because it's hard, because we've probably done the default thing and we had the order wrong. Jesus gave us this order, if you will. So we had the live first and the save second. And maybe if there's any leftover, then I would give to God or give to others. But we talked about this working towards this reprioritizing of our lives around this generosity and not just the consumption of everything that comes our way. So we typically take, you know, that what ought to be last, and we've made it first. So we talked about flipping this thing around. And if you'll remember, we suggested this because Jesus talked about this in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where, let's personalize it, where my treasure is, where I send my money, my heart is going to follow that thing. And it's beautiful because, one, you know, where I send my money reveals where my affections are. Remember, we talked about that. But also, I can turn it around, and where I send it is, I can be intentional about it, and my heart will follow that as well. So, for instance, if I've got a hard heart, if I've got a greedy heart, then I can break the grip that greed or that money has on my heart. If you could wrap that around my heart, I can break the grip that it has by intentionally sending it somewhere. And remember, our heart will follow, and it kind of moves our heart. So you can, Jesus is telling us, I think, that we can steer our heart. And I just think that's incredible. That's beautiful. So if I'd like to change where my heart is, I just change where my money's going. I can do this. So giving is an antidote to greed. That's just always a reminder for me. So here's a suggestion in deciding where to give. Two things. Give from a grateful heart and give from a broken heart. I like these two things. So give from a grateful heart and a broken heart. If there's a local church or an organization or something that has meant something to your life or to your family, if it's made a difference in your life, made a difference in your family, then that's a great place to give first. Just right off the top, decide how, and remember, you get to pick a percentage of your income, and you decide right off the top that I'm going to give out of a thankful heart. I'm so grateful for what this ministry has done, for what that ministry has done. And I want to give to that. The other thing is to give out of a broken heart. If there are some things that just, you know, that grip your heart. I mean, we don't like talking about this, but sex trafficking and we don't talk, you know, child abuse. I mean, these kinds of things, you know, it breaks our heart. It's like, oh my gosh, and this stuff is really happening. We'd like to just push out of our mind. But if it breaks your heart, then find an organization that's working towards resolving these things, working towards helping victims of these things, and give towards that. Does that make sense? So give from a grateful heart and give from a broken heart. For Beth and I, we kind of do this kind of thing. I mean, you know, obviously we give to our local church first because it's meant so much to us. We see what it means in other people's lives. The other thing, and we do this, but we're going to be, she doesn't know this, we're going to be intentional about this week. An organization that's meant so much to us is the Lexington Christian Counseling Center. And if you've been around me any length of time, you know, I talk about it all the time because it's one of the things that's, I guess, saved my marriage. It may in some ways have saved my family. It certainly has saved my ministry in the church. I don't want to say it saved the church, but it's kept me in this seat. And maybe you aren't grateful for them because it's David again. Listen, there's a church on every corner. Find you another one. There's a church on every channel on YouTube. Find you another one if you don't like this one. But it's safe. And so it's meant so much for me. So we want to be intentional about giving some off the top towards something that we're thankful for. I'm thankful that they are here. I'm also thankful for them because I suck as being a counselor. And if you ever sat down with me, you know that. And so I'm sending people there, right? So it's like, whew, man, they do my job for me. Marriage counseling, I don't marriage counsel anymore because I only got about this much to offer and you're probably not going to listen to me anyway. So you go sit on someone else's couch and you listen to them. So I get to point people to them, right? Does this make sense? All right. Things that break our heart. I thought about giving a list. Maybe just I'll rattle some off. There's some local things. Nancy K. Peary Children's Home is something that we've been a part of. I know a lot of people they help children. Samaritan's Purse is another incredible one. What we give to them, and we encourage other people to give to them because holy cow, man, they've got their fingers in everything all over the world. Disaster relief, sharing the gospel, helping children that, you know, that don't have enough. I mean, they just got their hands in everything. And they're always intentional about sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in every single one of those ministries. Man, so there's not a shortage of places. So you get, and this is what's beautiful. You get to decide. You get to choose where you're going to send your money. So just choose that you're going to give a percentage, and then you break that percentage up towards things that you're thankful for and things that break your heart. So the key is to decide ahead of time. Because if you don't decide ahead of time, it's all going to get spent. We're going to consume it. And then, oh, I might save a little dab here. And then, oh, crap, there's just none left to give. So turn it around. And as you remember, we go back to some of these other messages. God's got this supernatural way of that you won't be able to explain of taking care of your needs when you see to it that his needs, that the things that that breaks his heart and that he are concerned about it, are taken care of first. So giving first may sound crazy, right? Like, oh, I just don't make sense. And if I give first, there's just not going to be enough. All I'm saying is that it may be crazy, but is it not a better version of crazy than just consuming everything that comes my way? Oh, and then, yeah, I might throw a couple bucks at it, or I might throw 20 bucks at, or, you know, in the offering plate, but we don't pass an offering plate. You know, throwing something that makes you feel good in the birdhouse or something. You know, it's a better version of crazy than that. It just is, because Jesus says that, man, spending everything on ourselves in this parable ends in total loss. Ends in some preacher somewhere that you probably don't know having to stand up in front of a crowd and going, anybody got anything to say about David, you know? Man, don't do that to him. Invest your life, man, and invest your money in the things that God is concerned about. Remember how Jesus put it, being rich towards God. Being rich towards God. And maybe you just ponder on that. What does it look like to be rich towards God? And maybe there's not a great, incredible definition of that, because it's like, well, whatever, what does that look like to you? Use your imagination. I want to be rich towards God and rich towards the things that God loves, people that God loves. I just think it would be great. Crazy, that's leaving everything to your kids for them to have to deal with, you know? Listen, you ain't responsible for taking care of your kids when you die. If you've invested in them, if you've taught them how to work hard, if you've taught them how to love God, if you've taught them how to love people, then they've got their own journey to work on. I hope that I give it away, that I've sent it in areas that that God is concerned about, that I make sure that where it goes after I'm dead, goes into the places that God is concerned about, that will continue to help make heaven full, and that I've spent it. I just don't need to leave anything to my kids. Anyway, you do whatever God's leading you to do. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you what my version of crazy looks like, right? So, you should know the answer to the question before you spin yourself into a position where you can't address what matters most to you, where you can't address what matters most to God. If you skip that question, well, then you'll just follow your money, right? You'll send it in all kinds of places and it'll be all about you, and you will consume yourself to a place where you can't do anymore, where it's me first living and some leftover giving. And that'd be a shame. And that's a small life. And I just know that I don't want to be there. And so I intentionally do things to help break its grip and to help make heaven full. So Jesus says that kind of life would just be a total loss, and it'd be a shame to live our lives for ourselves. If you want to add meaning to your life, if you want to add meaning to other people's lives, well, then we decide where we're going to give it, and we decide where we're going to send it, and we do that right off the top. So let's get this right. Can we do this? I want to get this right. I want you to get this right. And so let's listen when money tells us. Remember, there's three things it's already told us. I can add meaning to your life, but I'm not the meaning of life. Money told us that the minute you think you own me, I actually own you. God, we become slaves, and it becomes our master. And that is not going to be the way it is. We have a master who has entrusted us with some money, and we are responsible to him and accountable to him what we do with it. And we're going to have to give it back to him one day because we're not taking it with us. We learned last week that money said to us that my direction reveals your affection. And if you don't like what it's revealing, the beautiful thing is you get to decide that I'm going to send it in. It's revealing something different about me. We get to decide where we're going to send it. And so the final thing, the number four, the final thing that money is said to us and is saying to us today, and again, we don't have to like this, but it's a truth. What you choose to do with me speaks volumes about who and whose you are, about who you are and who you belong to, who your master really is, because this is not going to be my master. I have a master, my Heavenly Father. So I hope that we'll live like a master and not like an owner. I hope that we'll give first, choose a percentage, we'll give first, we'll save second, and then we'll live off the rest. Consume your heart out after that, then we'll live off the rest. And I hope that we'll learn to do this in an orderly fashion, in an intentional way. That this is, I'm deciding, I'm choosing. And listen, I don't care how old you are. You know, you're a preteen, you're 75 years old, and I just haven't gotten this right all my life. It ain't never too late to start doing the right thing, because you don't know when tonight, this very night, it might be required of you. He didn't have any more chance, so do it as if you got no more time. And I hope that we all discover the peace, the contentment, the satisfaction, the meaning that it adds to our lives when we do this. When we do it, what Jesus talked about, when we do with our money what Jesus said to do with our money. So I'm excited to hear stories from you about what's going on and what happens. And I know it's not the kind of thing, Jerry, you want to get up in front of everybody and say, but you talk to me or you send me emails and y'all tell me what you're doing. And I'm just kind of cheering you on. Man, if that's where God's lead you, you might not even know that God led you to do this. I had a conversation with a dude about this. But I believe I can see that God's leading you to do this and you're doing it. So if he's led you, just do it and leave the results up to God. Leave the consequences to God. Give first, save second. And then it's like, I don't know. But Jesus said, now all these other things will be added to you. I will take care of these in a supernatural way. Anyway, I'm excited for you that this is going to happen. And I'm excited that we can use our money to send it in places that will help heaven to be full. And you'll get to look down maybe, just maybe. I don't know. Maybe got to peel back just for a minute and allow you to have a peek in on your funeral and see what's going on. I don't know what that looks like, but it's cool to think about. I'm excited for you. I want to pray for us in this because I'm convinced that God has shared something with you and that you've held on to a nugget or two through this series, a nugget or two that can transform your life if and only if you act on it. Believing it, oh, that's great. Even teaching it is great. But if you don't do it, don't make any difference in your life, and then it's not going to make a difference in anybody else's life. So let me pray for us, because I believe we're going to need some courage. Let me just pray instead of saying it. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will give us courage to do the sitting down, to have the conversations that need to happen with the people in our household. And if it's just us, maybe have the conversation with a friend so we've just got a little bit of accountability going on. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the determination to then act on it. That first giving something away that we would say that we know we need, it's going to be incredibly difficult. So God, will you do something in us, bolster us up? It's easy to make a commitment sitting in church, easy to make a commitment sitting there listening to this message. But if we don't act on it, it's not going to make the difference. So Lord, give us the courage, give us the determination. And then Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to see your blessings and all the ways that they come that sometimes are masked a little bit and we're just not quite seeing them. So Lord, will you reveal to us what you're doing and the supernatural things that are going on, and help us to not just brush them off and say that it's coincidence or anything else. Lord, you love us and you are wooing us into a deeper relationship with you, a relationship that needs to say back to you, Lord, we trust you. No matter what, we're going to do life the way you've instructed us to, even if it doesn't make sense on paper, and we're going to communicate to you that we trust you. So Lord, we do love you and we do trust you. I pray that you do some amazing things in our lives and in the life of this church and in our community as a result of this church. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have an incredible Sunday afternoon. Don't forget about adopting a kid and December 12th being our next work day. Y'all have a great rest of the day.